This is the Scottish Football Marketing Podcast. For this show, we were joined by Kenneth McFarlane from Republic of Media to discuss advertising and media buying. While this sounds expensive, it doesn't have to be the case. We found out about the numerous options available throughout the podcast. As always, we try to ensure there is advice for clubs at all levels in Scotland. While you listen, you'll probably think there may be things not relevant to your club as you've no budget. But stick with it, as there are plenty of ideas and nuggets of information to take away. If you get to the very end and still don't think there's anything you can do, have a think from the other side of things. What inventory and media space can you sell to other brands? Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Scottish Football Marketing Podcast with myself, Chris Sampson, and Michael Bockel from the Scottish FA.
Hello.
This week we are talking about advertising and media buying. It's not something that I'm hugely familiar with, so hopefully I'm going to learn a few things along with hopefully some of our listeners as well. We've got a guest with us as well, and that guest is Kenneth McFarlane from Republic of Media. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, etc.
No problem. Thanks for being here. Michael, give us a wee intro into the thoughts of this podcast.
Yeah, thinking around this podcast is that I think when people... If you're not too familiar with marketing, I think that the first place you go to when thinking about marketing is advertising. And there is a number of clubs that do various forms of advertising. And when we talk about, we'll go into what is that we actually mean about media buying as well, but it's basically buying the space for where you're give or take. And Kenneth's going to give you a proper explanation. That's a layman's terms at the very best. But yeah, look, clubs are always looking for different ways of advertising, whether it's tickets, club shop, hospitality, coaching programmes that they've got for kids, coaching, etc. So, yeah, look, I think it's one. I think when you hear advertising and media buying, you automatically go, oh, that's expensive, which hopefully will show that there is ways of doing it that isn't expensive. But it, obviously, with all these things, it's about being as sort of clever and as creative as you can be.
Definitely, yeah. So let's just kick off then. Kenneth, take us through a bit of background to you and your current role.
Sure. So I've been planning and buying media for about 10 years now in a couple of different companies, and been working with the SFA for about 18 months. And the role really, like the role of a media agency and a media planning and buying agency, like you said it quite well, even if it was quite simple. You know, we do buy the space, but the planning bit is just as important. So, you know, if you need to advertise, we need to help you understand what that requirement is, why you're advertising, what you're looking to achieve. And then there's a load of sort of behind the scenes research that goes into the audience, it goes into the marketplace in general to say, here's your strategy, this is where you should advertise, and then yeah, we go and buy it, but at the, you know, the best price for you possible. Which hopefully kinda you should, in theory, the theory goes, if you use a media agency, they should be able to buy better rates than you straight off the bat. And then they should be able to negotiate those rates further. So you should save money by using one. And that's where we fit in.
This is probably one question that a lot of people will be asking, and me, myself, personally as well. You've probably gone through a bit there, but what does media buying actually mean?
So say you've got, you want to put an ad on TV. There's multiple different people you speak to, called media owners, so Sky, STV, Channel 4, we liaise with them on your behalf to buy the space at a quality price. And then somebody else makes the actual fancy, cool, creative. So like my mum and dad still think that I make the ads, for example. I haven't been able to convince them what media buying is, but somebody else makes the ads and puts them essentially in the space that we've bought. And sometimes it's directed by us. You know, we decide that you should go on in newspapers. We should decide you should go on the radio. We decide that you should go through social. And somebody makes the ads. And some other times the ads are there. And it's like, you know, this needs to be a radio ad. Fine. Okay. Let's go and buy some radio space. But that space is planned to reach a specific audience. So, you know, that might be young men. It might be sort of mothers with children. You know, where are they? where can I reach them most efficiently, and where are we going to get the most bang for our buck, basically.
And that comes back to that planning then, doesn't it? The strategy kind of behind that.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a lot of it, a lot of it is using systems and databases and playing about with the data that's out there. So a lot of graphs, a lot of spreadsheets, throwing a lot of figures up a wall and seeing what sticks. And then a lot of it also comes down to, you know, gut feel at the end of the day. You know, you kind of know, especially when you're doing it for a while, you know what is going to work for certain clients, you know what is going to work for certain objectives, and that kind of helps guide things and makes it a quicker process.
So what options would you say are available to football clubs?
Well, knowing the sort of the lay of the land in Scottish football, there's going to be a lot of options that are only available to some clubs, and a lot of options that just wouldn't make sense to some clubs. But at the end of the day, there are opportunities within almost every channel with low entry points, low cost entry points. So, you know, we wouldn't imagine we would be putting many clubs on TV. I mean, I don't think that's likely. However, if somebody had a video asset, which is really quality, no matter where they are in Scotland, the technology now exists to run really local TV. So, you know, like postcode targeting TV. So even like TV advertising, which is going to sound expensive, it's going to sound out of reach, is achievable for a lot of low budgets. The reason we wouldn't probably do it is because it's not likely to be effective, because you're going to be watching like Game of Thrones, and then an ad comes on for your local football team that's going to be jarring and it's just a bit weird. But, you know, we've got the suite of channels available to us, as, you know, press, radio, outdoor, all digital and social channels across, you know, tablet, mobile, desktop, anything. As well as everything that I've forgotten off the top of my head, like direct mail and radio and that. So, yeah.
And we touched on this at the start. You said there's low entry points, but obviously it does sound expensive when we talk about radio advertising or TV advertising. Is it the case? Is there a sort of, I suppose, I know that I'm probably preempting the answer, that it depends on the channel.
Yeah, well, it does, yeah.
But would you say you could play in this space and do some advertising, media buying with a relatively small budget?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends on what you define as relatively small. You know, we deal with budgets in the tens of millions, as well as budgets in, you know, sub 10,000 and even the hundreds for some campaigns. Like, it goes to what you might expect as well, because some people think expensive is a different amount to somebody else. So, like, what would you imagine that like an ad in a bus shelter might cost?
Where's the bus shelter?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know, Perth.
Okay, I'm just going to go for 500 quid.
So you're probably looking at about between 200 and 300 quid for 2 weeks. And some people might think that's quite expensive because it's only 2 weeks, but somebody else, like, if you're coming at it from £500 as an expectation level, you're like, oh, well, that's not actually that bad. You know, outdoor panels per panel, mostly around sort of that £200 to £400 mark, even the big ones. I'm not going to start you. There's specific names for them, like 6 sheets and 48 sheets, but I think we're a bit sort of, that's a bit too far. But even in outdoor, there are small, really tactical opportunities like stencils or beer mats. I mean, we've done that for the SFA. Really sort of low cost as an entry point. You can basically spend like whatever you want to spend. So say, take social media, for example. That is bought on what's called a cost per thousand basis. I'm really going to try and avoid jargon, but it's like cost per thousand impressions, cost per thousand exposures. So if you wanted to, you could spend a fiver. Like, it wouldn't be really effective, but, you know, if you could identify a small audience of fans of your club, which you can, then you wouldn't need to spend a lot of money to reach them quite frequently.
Yeah, that makes sense, because we did a podcast. I can't even remember off the top of my head what number that would be, but I think it's like podcast number 4 or 5, where we talked about paid advertising and online. And so, yeah, I think that is a good a way of being a bit more efficient with your money as well.
Yeah.
Mentioned it in show one as well in terms of researching and planning and things like that, where should clubs begin when it comes to this then?
So the first step, like, for example, right, I didn't know that a media agency, a media planning and buying agency existed before I sort of went for the interview. I'd only kind of realised what I was interviewing for halfway through said interview. But not only did I not know it existed, I didn't really get the concept of there is an agency between deciding to advertise and actually advertising. So before you like establish a need to advertise, I think the most important thing is working out what you actually want to achieve. So a lot of clubs have problems with season ticket sales, for example. So, you know, is that a priority? In which case you need to get like think about next season, like really, really early. Or is it like simply that your crowds are dwindling and you want to get more people to go? And if you want to get more people to go, is that new people that haven't been before? Or is it people who go like four times a season and you want to get them to go 10 times a season? And each one of those different objectives is going to result in a slightly different campaign. So you need to fit, and that's something that, you know, we can only help you figure out by asking these kind of questions. Mm-hmm. So you can figure that out and then basically either come to somebody like us, or you can go direct if that suits best. You know, you don't have to use a media agency. We would recommend it, obviously, but and then where we come in is we're able to use data to tell you who to speak to next. Because without that, you're kind of in a blind alley of going, well, shall I speak to the local paper? Shall I speak to the local radio station? And your options are quite limited. So even if it's just speaking to us to sound out some options, that will be of benefit to you.
Good. I mean, and you've done some research on some of the most appropriate channels to target football fans. One where, and again, without sort of going into the jargon of over-indexing and under-indexing, yeah, but what, out of the research you've done for football fans in Scotland, what are the sort of the channels where you would probably expect the advertising to outperform the average for the average person?
Yeah, so the stuff that we've looked into, and it gets quite detailed when we look at the segmentation that the SFA have done themselves. They've done a complicated segmentation run that looks at like fanatics and game day loyalists and all that kind of thing, big day game day fans. What we've looked at for this piece is more simple for the basis of this. It's basically people who have gone to a football match in the last 12 months and looked at the differences between them and your average Scottish adult. And what we're looking for is to find areas where we can get them at scale, but we can also get them quite efficiently. So you might find one particular channel that you can reach 40% of your target audience, so football fans, but it usually reaches like 80% of Scottish adults. That's not an efficient channel to use. So you're trying to find ones where it's the flip side. So looking at this research, because it's right in front of me, and it's not, you know, it's not particularly helpful in a podcast. Commercial radio, that does really well. So this is it's an audience that is obviously male, tends to be 25 to 54. You know, there seems to be a lack of that kind of under 25 audience going, as well as over 55s. So that audience does particularly well on radio. Slightly over-indexes on TV, but when you get to outdoor, that's when you can see big swings, so like buses, bus stops, taxis, that kind of thing, just getting out and about because it's quite an active audience. As well as things like Facebook, which are going to come up for every single audience. You know, if we were looking at like elderly women at this stage, we'd still say you might want to be on Facebook because you can target elderly women. You know, so those are the channels that come up out strongly, but those are the channels that come out strongly with scale. Whereas things like podcasts, which again we've done for the SFA, growing at a ludicrous rate at the moment, and the volumes are still quite small, but they're very much an efficient channel for this kind of younger, or sorry, middle-aged male audience. you know, if you look at any kind of male audience, it's going to come out strong, but specifically that 25 to 54, it's like we're all listening to podcasts.
Can you take us through then what you mean by podcast advertising?
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways to do it. The first of all is what we call pre-roll, but it's basically putting your 30-second ad, which could be repurposed from a radio script before, during, or after the podcast, depending on how long it is. And the second one is to sponsor it. And sponsoring, you know, depends on how much you want to spend and how much you want to actually get out of it. So if you start throwing freebies at whoever's doing the podcast and throwing money their way, they're going to give you more. We're going to talk about your product. So for a lot of clients of ours who are actually selling real life products, you want somebody to talk about it. You want somebody to explain it. If we're talking about selling tickets, then, you know, a lot of the time we need to get the excitement across and get across the passion that's out there in Scottish football. And there are a few sort of Scottish only football podcasts kicking about. Obviously, the guys at the Terrace have done well enough to get their own TV show off the back of what they've been doing. And each club, you know, a lot of the so Celtic and Rangers especially, obviously, but there's a lot of club-specific podcasts. Yeah. So it's about kind of finding those opportunities and putting ads before the actual content, because that's an environment that people have chosen to listen to. Like, if anybody's actually listening to this, they have chosen to listen to this, which is impressive.
Fingers crossed.
But, you know, you're sitting down, you're listening primarily through earphones or whatever, you're on your own, you're giving it your undivided attention, and how many other channels can actually do that?
That's getting, with the podcast advertising as well, you can be quite targeted in terms of geographical, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, we do Scotland-wide for the SFA, but we can also do sort of regionally as well. So it gets to the point where if you get to certain areas, the volumes are so low that it's quite challenging to get any effect. But we can also do things, if we were doing a larger area, like Scotland, for example, then we do a specific audience, so you only hear the ad if we want to talk to you.
I find that super interesting. And obviously, is it next level then when you do get to the stage where you've got the presenters or whoever's on the podcast actually speaking about it? Is that something that you can tie in as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So if we were like talking about, I don't know, like I'm careful as to advertise another product, but like water, for example, if we were talking about Highland Spring, then, you know, there might be they might get in touch and go, right, okay, you've got X number of thousand listeners, we'd like to sponsor your product, so it's sponsor your podcast, it's sponsored by Highland Spring, and we would talk at some point about Highland Spring, shoehorn it in somehow.
Got a bit of news for you, Chris. This podcast is now sponsored by the Scotland Supporters Club. I'm a big, we are obviously big podcast fans, considering we're actually doing one, but yeah, I think that as you said, it is a growing space for that. If we take it back a little bit in terms of, I know if you look at the research, one that always blows my mind that it is quite popular for football fans is cinema. Is there value in cinema advertising nowadays?
Yeah, absolutely. There's value. It depends what you want to achieve and what you want to do. I mean, if you've got this massive cinematic ad, I mean, it was like Scottish football, or football in general, sport in general, is quite an emotional product to sell. And cinema is great at getting that across on such a, you know, big scale. The stat has gone out of my head, but, you know, it's a cinema ad is X amount of times more effective than a TV ad. It obviously costs a lot more, but, you know, you're getting that one-to-one big screen feel, so absolutely there's value. It's whether or not it's right for what you want to achieve, and it goes back to that. So if you want to just get somebody down to the game tomorrow at 3 o'clock, a cinema ad the night before is not going to do that. It's not the right environment to get somebody to think, oh right, I'll go down to the game tomorrow.
Yeah, probably because you've already spent about £30 going to the cinema.
That's an issue, isn't it?
Not if you're going to X cinema.
That's our new sponsor as well. But yeah, no, I think cinema, I'm not saying cinema you need to go and do it, but I think when you look at, we've talked about this before, the one team cities and towns where there is cinemas, I'm thinking, well, Inverness, Aberdeen, Like, there's obviously a bit of scope, although people probably from Dingwall do go to M&S for the cinema, but you know what I mean. There's opportunity there.
Yeah, as soon as you look at, it's a good way of putting it, you know, one team towns, one team cities, you can essentially, you know that there's no competition for what you're offering. So lots of things become available to you. So local outdoor, local press, local cinema, even if you did have a TV ad, local TV, local radio. If a radio almost becomes, you know, one of its selling points is that it can be so local and regional, but suddenly it is quite a mass reach tool for these clubs. You know, if you're a Montrose or an Arbroath, for example, that, you know, there's not a Montrose FM or an Arbroath FM, so it becomes like you're reaching a lot of, you know, St Johnstone fans or Aberdeen fans, for example. Yeah.
Farrah, you mentioned local press there. Would you say, and again, preempting that, depending on what your objective is, and I'll always put that caveat in, but is there still a place for local newspaper advertising?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still going to sit on the fence on a lot of these things and just go, oh, well, it depends on what you want to achieve. But it does depend on what you want to achieve. It's almost like, you know, local press isn't going through a particularly healthy time at the moment. There's no surprise and no shock in saying that. What I would say is that the audience that it can deliver can still deliver sort of some scale. You know, I think that my screen has now gone blank, so I can't remember the figure, but it's something like 25% of your audience, of this kind of football fan, still read local press on a weekly basis. So that's not insignificant. It's just about working out what you want to say. A lot of clubs will avoid it, not because it's sort of diminishing readership, but because, oh, they're covering our team anyway. Mm. And it's one of those that I feel it's almost like the, you know, you want a good relationship with that paper. You want them to continue to cover it, and it's like that kind of virtuous circle. If you can kind of just find something to keep them happy a little bit, then it helps them put more into covering the sport, and kind of it all comes back to the sport at the end of the day.
I suppose it's almost as important not just being on the back, but being towards the front of the paper as well, then.
Yes, yeah, because you're going to reach completely different audiences. I read from the back, you know, but not everybody does. Yeah. And by the time you get there, you know, you don't always get to the other end. So it's quite, you know, but you could have quite a regular ad. You know, if you speak to them front up and say, we're going to deliver this amount of investment over the course of a season, rather than this kind of reactionary, we need to sell tickets for Saturday approach, then it helps them plan their revenues. It helps you get better space because you can generate economies of scale. So having those conversations earlier and more frequently with them is always going to help. Same with radio. It's the same principle with radio. If you've got a good relationship with your local radio station, then that's going to help you as well.
I guess a good bit of advice for local clubs in terms of looking at how they go about having those, how they go about doing some local advertising. And as you said, it's about conversations, and we've said it, it's been a common theme throughout a few of these podcasts, is relationships and actually that communication you've got with your local partners, in this case, as it would be.
What about then print versus digital? It's kind of along the same lines, but like, what is the kind of case for both, and should clubs be looking to concentrate on one area maybe when they've got a limited budget?
Concentrating on one area isn't a bad idea at all if you've got a limited budget, and you know, with a caveat, as again, depends how limited that budget is, it depends what you want to achieve. You know, print versus digital isn't always the question to ask, because a lot of most print products are traditional newspapers have branched into online. They've got online opportunities that they'll want to try and upsell you. So a lot of the time you can do both, and still think of yourself as only doing one channel. You're doing your local paper, you're just doing it on and offline. The simple fact is it will be cheaper to start off doing digital advertising. You know, if you've got a fiver, you can't buy a press ad, but you can run some online ads. Yeah. But once you get to a certain size budget, and it's still quite low, you know, you should be looking at those kind of local press opportunities and seeing what you can achieve.
We've talked about Facebook quite a bit as well as what kind of other digital opportunities are out there for clubs.
I've been looking into things like TikTok and Twitch over the last wee while, and I still have no idea what they're about. I think opportunities like that, and even things like Snapchat, which is like generate like big scale, large scale audiences, are probably outside the scope of most clubs. So the main ones would be Facebook, Twitter. Still, I mean, Instagram is part of the Facebook system, so so that as well. But even things like Spotify are achievable for a lot of clubs now, because if you're doing a radio ad, you've got that sitting there. We've talked about using it in podcasts. Using it in Spotify is the same kind of principle at the end of the day. And then that's kind of a social end of a scale. You can still talk to your kind of national press partners, your likes of a Record, likes of a Sun, and seeing what kind of display opportunities are through them. Because a lot of the time they can do some kind of, it goes back to the print digital partnerships, but getting editorial involved and doing something quite nice. But even through the Record, you know, they can do, thinking back to your regional clubs, you know, they can do local targeting. It doesn't have to be national. So just because the brand says national, the Daily Record is a national paper, doesn't mean they can't offer you local opportunities.
And when you're talking about those opportunities, you mean things like homepage takeovers, yep, banner ads, is, yep, that the sort of thing, yeah?
Yeah, banner ads is that phrase that's like kind of like catches everything, yeah, everything that is essentially just a display advert. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of scope for creativity with that kind of thing. And if you want like just the banner on at the top of the screen, for example, that will be cheaper than your homepage takeover, but it'd be less effective.
Have you done much around YouTube and sort of YouTube, whether it's pre-roll ads and the options available,
yeah,
there?
Yeah, well, YouTube, we've got a really good relationship with YouTube because we were the first ones to, we kind of invented with them live annotations. For another client, but I'm probably not allowed to mention. But it was like a worldwide first thing, and they, you know, that doesn't exist anymore, the product, but the that kind of thing helps us foster these long-term relationships, to try and be the first to do whatever new cool thing that they want to test out. So yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of YouTube advertising over the years, and I think when you run a TV campaign, for example, you've got your video. That's one of the channels that you should be looking to add in just to deliver some incremental reach. But if you're looking at, again, a really tight geographical target area and TV is not an option, then suddenly you get to the possibility of using like video on demand as well as YouTube. The difficulty there is not actually the entry cost of the media, because the media, you're talking about like 3p for somebody to view the whole ad. You know, that's tiny. But the cost of making an ad that people want to watch, and that's the difficult bit.
Yeah, I think that is a difficult bit, and a bit, I know we've talked about there is some clubs there with some creative video people, mm-hmm, which, yeah, obviously you can do some of this in-house. I know we've looked at stuff. We always say that video is emotive. Obviously you can get that messaging, and clips of actual footage can help, and it's one that I think I've mentioned on a previous podcast as well, is that we've looked at doing some YouTube stuff in the past, and it's got its merits. It was just interesting to hear what the current sort of uses for it are nowadays, and looking at what the wider opportunities are. I mean, you touched on taxis and buses, and what are your sort of range of options when it comes to outdoor? Obviously, people just think the big billboards, but you are right, you've got bus stops and that. I know a lot of grounds do their own in-stadium advertising as well.
Yeah, so I mean, we look at that, and you know, if a club came to us, we wouldn't look at their own collateral really to advertise. But you know, the smallest things that you can do are things like beer mats, like I've said, or like targeting certain pubs and even like toilets of certain pubs, and trying to get those opportunities for specific messages. You want people to read on their own, for example. Bavaga, you know, you go outside, you can get your, so you mentioned buses, for example, like, even within that, you know, the side of buses are called supersides, the rears of buses, they're surprisingly called rears, but you can, like, you can wrap a bus, you can do inside a bus, same with the taxis, you can wrap a taxi, you can do the seats inside the taxi, you can do the taxi receipts, you know, the bus receipts, there's so many different options, you know, even you, when you go to sort of standard digital panels, you know, one's popping up in Glasgow all the time now, which are called InLink panels, and those offer you the opportunity to print off a wee voucher. Now, again, I don't see this as particularly relevant for what we're talking about here, but there's just loads of kind of quirky little things that media owners, the guys who own the sites, are trying to make it a more effective medium.
There's a kind of following on from that, Michael, I think you've been working with the guys potentially on the Andy Robertson mural outside Hampden as well.
We did indeed, yeah, we put it outside Hampden. It actually stemmed from an idea to do this a bit away from Hampden, but obviously I couldn't let the guys talk about it, like kind of sorry, talk about it a little bit more, but yeah, we were looking at different ways of how we try to advertise our matches, be a bit more quirky, get a bit more attention around what it is. You're starting to see street art and murals pop up all over Scotland. It's big in other countries as well. We've seen in I've seen it in Germany where it's clubs, street art's everywhere, and it's something that the guys came to us with an idea, and what transpired was Andy Robertson outside Hampden. But there's more scope to that sort of stuff, isn't there?
There's lots more scope, and I'm delighted every time that I come to Hampden and I still see it up. And he even talked about it on a podcast that he did. And a colleague of mine who works on SFA, you know, Nathan. It's like, I think it's one of his proudest moments in media. He managed to put it up. But I remember the actual time we were looking at it. It was the Portugal and Belgium games, and it was like, how do you sort of sell these in but in a different way? And we had one idea around to kind of play on the famous Ronaldo bust, the statue of him, which looked ridiculous. And at one point, I think we were in Hampden talking to people about making a statue of Charlie Mulgrew, which is like some kind of ridiculous things that obviously don't come to pass, but some do. But yeah, that kind of street art and mural thing is absolutely, we're talking about it more and more, because we're talking about non-traditional ways of cutting through to our audience. And if it's a young audience especially, then, you know, that it feels like more part of the street architecture. It looks like something that is, yes, it might be graffiti, for example, but it's graffiti that nobody wants to take down, and that stands out a bit more. So again, you're going back to what kind of outdoor opportunities are available. You know, these guys, all they need is, you know, the tools, the permission, and a car, and they'll go to wherever you want them to go.
Just how difficult is it getting permission for these sort of things?
Depends on the council, and I probably shouldn't be saying which councils are more difficult than others, but it absolutely depends on them. And some, I think, some never seem to be an issue, and some always seem to be an issue. And that genuinely does affect lead times, because you think of something that normally would take you like 4 weeks, but actually takes you 4 months, and it's not their priority. It might be your priority, but it's not theirs, and there's nothing you can do to shove them along.
The reach, like, involved in that as well is kind of endless. It's almost like viral, because people are taking photos with it. Like me myself, obviously, I've seen Andy Robertson coming to Hampden to do the podcast. Yeah. There's a photo on my Instagram feed of it. Like, yeah. Even in the Glasgow City Centre as well, you've got the mural tour, which I've done a couple of times now, and there's always new ones popping up too. So it's kind of like an ongoing thing.
Yeah, but you said it's right. It's these things are becoming more Instagrammable, and you're seeing restaurants and shops actually, their internal design being now, so can you get it basically on Instagram as photo opportunities, because then you tag in where you are and you've seen it. And yeah, it's just, again, it's going back to that, just being creative and thinking slightly different out of the box. Now, you might have an artist at your as part of your fan base that would maybe do this sort of stuff for free, and then again, it's now just finding the space and the permissions to do it, and all of a sudden your costs start coming down.
I mean, how cool would that be if you got like almost every club in Scotland like had their own little patch? You know, it's like everyone kind of knows that there is a walk to the ground, no matter where you are. There's always a walk to the ground, and if that was just like, you know, plastered with murals of, I don't know, past glories or whatever it might be, then I think that'd be a great idea.
Definitely. For clubs with maybe a bit of a bigger budget, then going another scale of what we've been talking about mainly so far, what are the main channels you'd recommend?
Yeah, I mean, you end up saying that essentially you're using a lot of the same channels. So out of home is still important because it gets that kind of scale, and it has the opportunity to do both a sort of brand building job, which says, you know, we're here, we're a big part of the community, while also getting across a message of like, go to the game, it's right over there. So you end up doing more of that. You still do your sort of social advertising, but you do it at scale. And sometimes if you've got a campaign that is about season tickets, for example, that tends to be the bigger one, because it's, you know, you're trying to do a lot of a big sale job, at one time. Then you might consider like a TV campaign if you had the budget. But more likely you sort of branch out into those kind of channels that you were deciding between before. So previously you might have gone press or radio, and now you can do press and radio. So if you're one of the Edinburgh clubs, for example, then you can look at both Radio 4th and the Evening News and the Scotsman. Same with in Glasgow, you could look at Clyde, you can look at the Record, the Sun, without only choosing one of those channels.
And flip reverse in that sort of way, if you're looking at, you've only got a few £100, yeah, you're a small club, you're looking to sell, get more people in attendance, is generally what you're just looking to do. At that level, what would you say is your starting point of going, right, with your small budget, this is what your first sort of points are called?
I think your issue a lot of the time is going to be different if you are a small club in a rural community versus a small club in an urban community. So if you are a small club, and we talked about those kind of one town clubs or one club town, then you know that whatever you put out is going to reach only people who are interested in going to your club than anyone else. But if you are stuck in a city where there are bigger clubs around you, you run the risk of sort of reaching a lot more people, but most of them are going to go, they're not fans of your clubs. So I would say that the most important thing is to build an online community that you can speak to week in, week out, day in, day out, about what's going on at your club, and making sure that that's refreshed enough to keep them engaged. And that means online ads, that means making sure that all of your ads, if you do something in the paper, reference that. You know, get a decent Facebook page with a lot of your fans engaged, and make sure you're talking to them all the time, because that then becomes free advertising.
It ties in nicely with last podcast and email and using different channels to communicate with them. Well, just to finish up, speaking to yourself, kind of, what would you say is the future for media buying advertising? I know it could go in a million different directions, but
I've seen this question at the bottom of this list of questions for a while now. I'm sort of dreading it, because you can wax lyrical for sort of days on this, and a lot of people have different thoughts. You know, you'll hear a lot of people talk about customization and personalization, and how with technology becoming smarter and smarter, we can serve ads only to the people who we know will absolutely be interested in your product. For me, that's kind of flies in the face of what we should be doing, because then you never reach new people. And how do you build your fan base at all? You just kind of, you're speaking to the same people over and over, and when they fall out, you actually lose people rather than gain. What I would say though is that there is a trend towards fragmentation. By that I mean that this has been happening for years, but more and more people are listening in smaller groups to what they really, really want. So again, goes back to podcasts and sort of online channels, you're focused on what you want to listen to, and you're not a slave to a TV schedule or a radio schedule anymore. So what we need to do is, instead of, well, we can badge that, like with sponsorship, or we can provide that. So it goes back to what I was just saying about like smaller clubs building those online communities and giving them the content that they want. So I don't know why Montrose keep popping into my head, but if you're a Montrose fan, you know, you are going to be interested in videos about Montrose. Nobody else is producing videos about Montrose. So be that supplier. And then they're going to keep coming back to you and want you to actually advertise to them. Because that's ultimately what you want. You want adverts that you want to engage with.
I always say, like, well, us doing the podcast and sports marketing in Scotland in general is almost like a niche within a niche. Within a niche, because you've got football, then you've got Scottish football within that, and then you've got marketing of Scottish football. But that niche within a niche of Scottish football in general, definitely, as you say, there's clubs out there like Montrose fans, and they just want to be served that type of thing, and sometimes maybe those clubs aren't really serving it up for them.
Yeah, other clubs are available.
Other clubs are definitely available. Yeah.
And just to finish there, Kenneth, how can people find you?
I am on Twitter at Kenneth McF, I think. Yeah, I think I am. That's probably the best place. All I really talk about is media and St Johnson. That's about it.
There you go. There's your niche right there.
Definitely. Will we finish up then with how we usually do? We normally give some plugs out to stuff that we've liked. Kenneth, if there's anything that you want to mention, then please feel free. But Michael, kick us off.
Yeah, I'm going to go with one. It's a guy called Blair Hughes. He's in Australia. I think I might have mentioned it following him before. He's done a resource it's 100 plus fan engagement ideas. It's a graphic. He's got a website as well where you can just go in, and it's just a resource that you could hopefully inspire an idea or two. His Twitter handle's at Mr. Blair Hughes, which is worth a follow.
Definitely, aye. I've got a couple, and there are a few Scottish-based ones this week. So Aberdeen had a community trust day. I think it was just when they played St Mirren, just when we're recording this at the weekend there. So throughout the week, they kind of did a few videos showcasing some of the projects that the community trust work on, which I thought was pretty cool, and then summed that up on Saturday with a bit of a celebration. A few of those projects were invited along to the game and things like that, and again, showing videos about more about what Aberdeen are all about, which is awesome. And then finally, doing things a little bit differently, Glasgow Clan, the ice hockey side, playing in the Brayhead Arena, they did a bit of a Valentine's special at the weekend game there, and wore some pink jerseys, which they're auctioning off for charity, I think, as well. So again, just a bit of a different spin, and it'd be good to see some football clubs maybe attempt that at some point.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much again, Kenneth.
No worries.
And we'll wrap things up there. Thanks for listening.